Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu Data Science mit Milch und Zucker. Mein Name ist René Brunner und ich freue mich, dich in die faszinierende Welt rund um Data Science, Datenanalyse und künstliche Intelligenz zu entführen. In jeder Episode werde ich mit renommierten Experten sprechen und dir praktische Anwendungsfälle sowie die neuesten Entwicklungen aus der Welt der Daten näher bringen. Und das alles in Bezug auf den deutschsprachigen Raum. Also schnapp dir deine Tasse Kaffee, Tee oder was immer du auch bevorzugst und lass uns gemeinsam in die Welt der Daten eintauchen. Mit einer Prise Milch und Zucker. Hello and welcome to the next episode with Data Science with Milk and Sugar. Today we will have an English episode again. We will talk nevertheless about use cases in Europe, in let's say German-speaking region, also about a company a little bit, which is in the German-speaking area there. But first of all, I want to introduce Joël Arnt from Holcim.
Hi.
So we will talk about the use cases or data science, what are challenges, findings, and so on. Maybe let's dive in directly. How do you approach a use case? What are the challenges?
So my name is Joel. I'm at Holcim. We are a global company, present in 60 countries with more than 60,000 employees. And I'm at the Health Safety and Environment Department. Global health, safety, and environment. So our challenge is literally make sure everybody, all of our people, go home safe every day from work. And I joined this team 2 years ago, very innovative team, and they had this data vision that really I liked. So I kind of like switched careers where I used to work. I used to work in banking before, so switched to this industry. And the biggest initial challenge was, I'm not going to say a challenge, but novelty is it's a very nascent ML culture. But we overcame that very quickly because of my team's culture.
Yeah, it's quite good to work in data science. You can switch some context because you still have the same model. Of course, you need some knowledge, but you can build this up with the time. I think from banking to construction, quite a bigger change. But then let's dive in. So you said you're there for the environment, construction, for safety. What are then the cases? Like we can imagine there's a construction site and then people have to wear a helmet, let's say, but yeah. Probably there are more safety guides which you have to follow.
So in a nutshell, yes, I came to the understanding that everybody thinks they're safe, but actually there are a lot of standards. So HSC can become a bit complicated, more than the helmet. But yeah, overall, the safety side of things is having people follow the right procedures and having all of our structures and all the machinery that we have, they are properly guarded according to standards. So I'm not an HSC geek, so I'm still discovering this topic, but maybe hopefully my HSC colleagues would agree with me. From an ML standpoint, well, obviously there are so many things with Gen AI now we want to implement. You can be vision models or some audio models, you know, capturing audio, and what can we do with it? Capturing discussions, stuff like that, using, let's say, cutting edge AI stuff. And there's a lot of stuff to do also with typical statistical modeling, like prediction, event prediction, where we can have an incident, and finding the right futures and whatnot.
Okay, so let's assume like this audio, then because I were already wondering, because if you're a construction site, you have only beton and maybe a plastic helmet, so there's not a lot of data. But then you mentioned you probably install cameras. You can see it also often, I think, in Munich, all construction site, safety cameras around, maybe also for robbery in the night, I'm not sure. Or then you install audio devices, and then if somebody's screaming something, then maybe you say, okay, here's an alert, or yeah. how does this work then?
Yeah. We also have this, I should say, revolutionary boots on the ground. It's an internal tool that we use to record incidents or hazards detected on site. And that's a great data capturing tool for us, for me. And with that, you can actually capture a conversation between employees and extract information and the content of the discussion and find global patterns maybe in different risks.
Okay, sounds interesting. So it's probably anonymized everything, and then only have some keywords in there, and then trigger the alerts.
And match it with all those standards. We have hundreds of pages of standards.
So you have this, and the app you developed by yourself then, and installed it, so you also had the process to maybe convince people to put the app over there, maybe to use it.
So it's an internal app that was developed fully in-house, and HEC people use it, and also supervisors use it.
Okay, so they have then to use it, and you get the information, then probably upload it to the cloud, and then you can do your data science. What are the main challenges then to provide that solution and to help people?
So when I first showed up, the main challenge was that we had nothing. So one challenge, weird challenge actually, transitioning from a rigid environment, from a very flexible environment, meaning I was used to, I spent many years in banking where IT architects dictate what you have to do. So you don't really have to think about too much, you know, about the infrastructure and whatnot. But in my case, I had to come up with all the infrastructure, which also becomes, you know, that freedom gives a lot of stress as well, because, you know, you have budget constraints, and also you got to know what you're doing. You don't want to invest too much time and money in something that's not going to be used immediately. You know, what am I going to do? Am I going to use containers? Am I going to use MLflow? Am I going to use GitHub, GitLab, you know, all that kind of stuff. That was the challenge.
So remember, maybe some insight for the audio listeners. So we met, I think, 2 years, probably soon 2 years ago at the MLCon in Munich. And there we presented our concept and architecture, how to set up everything and to use it. And this year we are again in Munich. So maybe for the audience, if you want to meet us, I don't know if Joel will be there, but me and the team will be there at MLCon this year.
Yeah, I called out my kind of lucky break promoting. Yeah, I attended your workshop. I attended actually your presentation the day before, which was very intriguing. I already asked you a couple of questions, and then the next day I attended your workshop, which kind of showed me where I should go. So copied many of your ideas. So right now we're fully based on MLflow, Airflow, and GitHub. And everybody, you know, one size does not fit all. In our case, we went and took some bare metal AWS servers. So of course you got to have some people to install it and manage it. Once you know how to do it, it's not that complicated. Our major goals were avoiding vendor lock-ins, mentioned also in your course and presentations, and optimizing costs. Thanks to this infrastructure, we're 25% less GPU and 40% overall less cost.
All right. So the first challenge at Summit of it has been the infrastructure to get everything done. So you had to install all the components, cloud, and until you got ready. I think it's not, let's say, one click. You need some time, set up everything to get it working. And then once you overcome this hurdle, then what have been then the next challenges?
So once that's ready, once you know what to do, basically, you got to find how do you operationalize it. I think maybe two components to that. One is you got to find the right person to help you in IT. So I was lucky to be supported by the right people from IT. So they got me. They understood what I needed. I was able to explain to them. That's one. So I still have, you know, security-wise and, you know, load balancers, whatnot, that kind of stuff. I don't manage them. And I'm supported by a very good team. And the second thing, you still, even with MLflow, Airflow, all that good stuff, you still need, I think the most important thing for me today is the MLflow template that we developed internally. That way, we can easily work with even other teams. With the template, I can just get an ML project. Basically, instead of using containers, we're using ML projects, and that project that's hosted on GitHub. That doesn't mean it's not going to change tomorrow, but for now, that's good enough for us. Yeah, the MLflow template is the second most important thing. That way, the team can work, projects can change hands easily.
Yeah, so it's by yourself, develop the template to start easily and quick new projects probably. No?
Yeah. And you need talent.
Yeah, you need the right. First was the getting infrastructure. Second is to optimize, get the templates, and then the people. How does your team look like that you enable the use cases? It's like mixed team or?
Yeah, so small. I think small steps is the key here. So we have a combination of resources. We got internal people working for us, sometimes transferred, you know, under my direction. We got external resources, and also we have very important interns. We got an internship program that I'm very proud of that we were able to build in the past 2 years, basically. Our interns come and work with us. It's like a boot camp. Very tough, but very, very rewarding. And it helps them find a job and valuable in the job market right after their internship. So yeah, internals, basically everything that's available. We use everything that's available, internal, external, and interns.
All right. So then the people of the challenge, anything else when it came to the analysis or to rollout or the acceptance of the people to use that app, or was in this regard everything, let's say, fine or smooth?
I would say in this AI platform building business, really, like, take your time overall, I think, to evaluate the various solutions. Second, attend conferences and workshops like I did. Like my lucky break. And also, I think that's like a lesson, lifelong lesson, like make a habit of reading a little bit, like in your free time, because things change all the time. So what's valid today, probably it's not going to be the same, you know, in a year. So everything keeps changing. So you got to be open. You got to keep an eye open for that. And also, and business, of course, don't forget your business contacts, which should be first.
Yeah, first to get the funding and bringing value to the company. It's very important.
Yeah, making a heavy investment on a very automated, top-notch AI platform might not be the best solution in the beginning, because maybe no one's going to be there, you know, in a two-year time. You know, the whole thing might shift.
And you mentioned at the beginning, we discussed a little bit about data science and AI use cases. You mentioned also what use cases of AI. You mentioned a little bit about visual and audio. Can you a little bit deep dive in that regard? What are your AI use cases?
So our use case, I don't know how much detail I can give, but
yeah. So it's only until how much you can give. So it's not everything, of course. Yeah. But I think everybody's curious about this topic.
So what I'm most excited about is the capturing discussions and capturing, you know, what's going on in real time at the plant. That's going to be I don't know, we'll see, but it can be a game changer, because we'll have a live feed on what's going on at our plants. Obviously, you know, it has its own challenges, like privacy and acceptance and, you know, all that stuff, especially in the EU, I think. And Gen AI is very useful. Even out-of-the-box models are pretty cool. And if we mix that with some RAG or some specific model, some other little fine-tuning, I think that's going to be super interesting. Another use case is, you know, you can have cameras installed and take that CCTV footage and zone some areas in the plant. And there are only off-the-shelf companies that do that, but we can also do it internally. And now that we have an AI platform, you know, you can send a warning message to the plant manager, for instance, if somebody's somewhere they shouldn't be, stuff like that.
But then you also need a real-time infrastructure, no? Because if you send a warning 1 week later, if you make batch analysis and then send, oh, here's some danger, then it's already passed, no? Then you need really real-time prediction and trainings, probably.
Exactly. Good thing is I'm discovering visual models, like YOLO-type models that are very quick and not so hard to implement. They're so optimized that they can give you almost real-time, answer.
And then the infrastructure is also sending, the app is uploading it directly to your system. Do you have then Kafka streams or just normal streams? Or you like API call, maybe MFLow, Surf, or something like that?
So it's not implemented yet, so I don't know how we would do it. But it could be even on-premise. I don't know. Why not?
Oh, yeah, then also on the site that you build up a server and a construction site, maybe.
Yeah. Now with, you know, like the new compute powers that become more and more available, why not install servers locally? That way you have privacy, you know, everyone's happy.
Yes, not going out to the cloud. Locally you deploy your safety models, alerts, key alarms, and then people know, okay, it's not analyze everything what people say, so it could be a future. But you still need maybe data for training, or that you get some information.
Yeah, that We're lucky on that. We have a lot of training data.
That's good. It's always one issue. Yes, I was already wondering. The challenge is there haven't been anything about getting the data. So it's
we got a lot of data. I guess everybody's problem, like everybody else, the annotation part is tough. You know, label data, not so much. So we would need engineers to label it for us. You know, like if you take a picture of a crack on the wall, I wouldn't tell. I wouldn't be able to say if it's structurally dangerous or not.
All right. So any other challenges or... should we go to the tips? I think there are probably, I assume there are many, many challenges, maybe smaller ones, not the bigger ones. But then let's go. You mentioned already some tips and advices for the audience. Do you have any further tips that you say, yeah, this is one I would give to the audience, to starters in data science or for managers or people who start new projects?
Yeah, I guess some people that are really new, it's funny, but I would... again, like I don't know my vision, so I'm not going to say it's the best. But instead of, like, if you're new to data science and you want to enter this domain, I would recommend start straight away with MLflow instead of spending time on learning scikit-learn on Python, you know, vanilla Python, and running it in Jupyter Notebook or PyPython or something like that. I would skip that step because you're going to do it anyway with MLflow. You're going to learn it. I would just... straight away start with production level learning instead of school type of learning.
Just to get the structure, not sure, because then 1 year later, if you don't have it structured and you don't find your results and hassle, you lose then a lot of time.
Yeah, and you're going to have to learn everything again, you know, from scratch.
Yes, so get structured at the beginning. It's advice from you. I think this we can leave at the end of the podcast as advice. Leave it in the room,
yeah.
And let everybody get inspired from this. So thanks, Joel, for joining the podcast today. I think there have been a lot of challenges, ideas, new things. Also to see how you can do in areas where you don't assume first place that there's the machine learning AI tools over there. I wouldn't imagine this is a case. Even there, I'm always surprised where ML and AI is now deployed in these days. So awesome. Thanks, Joel, for joining the podcast.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
Das war's für heute in Data Science mit Milch und Zucker. Ich hoffe, du hattest eine lehrreiche und unterhaltsame Zeit mit uns. Vergiss nicht, den Podcast zu abonnieren, um die zukünftigen Folgen nicht zu verpassen. Teile ihn auch gerne mit deinen Freunden und Kollegen, die sich für Data Science interessieren. Wenn du Fragen hast oder dich einem bestimmten Thema brennend interessierst, dann schreib mir einfach gerne eine Nachricht. Du findest mich auf LinkedIn, wo ich dich auch immer über neue spannende Themen rund ums Thema auf dem Laufenden halte. Zum Beispiel mit meinem neuen Buch Python Schritt für Schritt programmieren lernen. Außerdem findest du meine erfolgreichen Data Science Kurse auf Udemy. Du siehst, wir wissen, was wir tun, wenn wir wieder eine spannende Folge unseres Podcasts veröffentlichen. Vielen Dank für deine Zeit und dass du Teil unserer wachsenden Community bist. Bis zur nächsten Episode von Data Science mit Milch und Zucker.